Hello, hello, and welcome to the 23rd Metroplex City Podcast. We've got some solid Illuminati mojo there. I'm pretty excited. I'm also pretty excited by the sheer massive phalanx of questions I have waiting for me. So I'm just gonna dive in. There will probably be plenty of chances to talk about Halloween, but if by some bizarre coincidence nobody asks about it, I will talk about it some at the end, along with, you know, plans for the future, Twilight Heroes, stuff like that. First, we've got some questions from Happy Eddie. Thanks for Halloween, can I come? Hey, there we go. You're welcome. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun to design. There's some stuff that I would have liked to, you know, go a little better, but that's how that works. And there's, of course, cool stuff that happened, cool stuff that went down, found, weird stuff that I was not expecting that I will, again, get to at the end, I guess, if there's not a specific question that'll jump out on that. Are the strange lights in the basement of the dorm something that will come into play before next Halloween? Yes. I can say that pretty certainly. And not before Christmas, probably. But you definitely haven't seen the end of the events that have been sort of set in motion, so to speak. You'll see a little bit of that, and by a little bit of that, I mean probably a lot of that, before next Halloween. So, that's cool. Can you tell us about the things we missed this Halloween? No need to be really specific. Was there anything you were surprised we didn't find, or came really close to finding? Actually, segues nicely into what I was trying to talk about. Happy Eddie's helping me out here. There was actually, I don't recall if this happened last year, but the first year we were at the counter, so to speak, for, like, you know, which side sort of won that year, because it was much more, you know, one side wins, the other side loses. The first year, then the second year, and the third year being even less so. But the first year was within like 5 or 10 energy. I'm sure I say exactly how much on some previous podcast. And this time you're looking at like a very different outcome within like 2 energy. So yeah, not messing around with the splitting hairs, making me definitely earn my rent, so to speak, making sure that all of the options are functional. Ended up sort of doing something sort of funny with the holograms. As you can tell, they're not doing a whole lot right now. Might have to wait a bit. There were sort of two ways that they could work, and I was, you know, expecting it as one would when one makes two ways for it to work, to go one or the other, but didn't quite actually trigger either. So the answers were either, you know, like, just, you know, yes, you guys, and pretend that one of those ways was the intended way, or take it as an opportunity to put a little more time and effort and awesome into it. So, I think I'm going to go with the latter, and that might take a bit, obviously, but it'll, I think you'll like the end results. Have the incident and the resulting developments help? Oh, he also asked if there was anything you guys missed. There's quite a bit of stuff that you kind of always miss on Halloween, just because, like, there were a bunch of encounters for, like, various funds running out, which you never got even close to in most cases, stuff like that. And, of course, the various encounters for, you know, trying to do things while the security guards are dead, some of the punk-related stuff just never ended up triggering. And that's just during the lead-up. There think it's probably pretty obvious that there was some stuff related to the gates that that didn't end up getting triggered. But and then some more just like trivial stuff on top of that. So there's the way that the first Halloween worked. It was sort of like there were more or less like three Halloween parties, and you guys just chose which one. Second one was a little more split up, like each faction could meet its goals or not, and some of them did, some of them didn't, and there's obviously some opposition there, like if the security guys reach their goals, the destruction, the punks aren't going to reach their goals, that sort of thing, but a lot more holistic. And this time it was actually really very granular. Like a lot of times on like an encounter by encounter level, whether it would get triggered or not. That wasn't perfect. I don't think anybody on the player side could really see the seams necessarily. But there are places that I think I could have done that better. Which I guess, long story short, the first year you missed out on like 2/3 of the content just by the sheer nature of the design. This time you missed out on like half the content by the sheer nature of the design. I'm in some ways making less work for myself and exposing more of it, but mostly just trying to give you guys as much control as possible. There's some things that I should just should have made a little clearer, but not a big deal in either case. Have the incidents or resulting developments helped or hurt Midgard in ways that the rest of the world would have noticed? It's not, like, outside of Metroplex, it's not a big deal. Like, I mean, there are major industrial accidents, and that happens. Sort of like, you know, obviously, you know, if there's a big earthquake or a factory fire or something like that, in our time, it'll, you know, get news for a while and then sort of fade out of everyone's consciousness, very similarly. It was, you know, a big deal, at the time. A lot of people died, obviously. Makes for good news. But, before the incident, Metroplex was a lot more, cosmopolitan isn't quite the word I'm looking for, but under much more like multi-corporate control, sort of like Hong Kong is. Whereas afterwards, because Midgard took such a lead with the reconstruction on keeping the city sort of propped up during that time period, that's really when they solidified their control of the city. So, depending on, you know, who you ask, either, you know, they're good Samaritans, which not a lot of people, you know, would honestly believe outside of, you know, Midgard's corporate offices. Or they, you know, kind of swooped in like vultures. Or, you know, came in and made a apparently quite reasonable business investment. Just depending on how you want to look at that. But it's definitely part of the companies and the city's history. As more in the rebuilding, though, than in the actual incident itself. Sorry about the pause there. I seems to be allergy time of year again, and I didn't want to blow my nose in all of your ears. You can thank me later. So, a couple questions from Thrillhouse. I jumped the gun last time, so here it is again. Did Halloween go like you anticipated? Did we jump at the right time and dig in the proper directions? The I mentioned that I was expecting something sort of in one of two directions for the holograms to trigger, and neither of those actually happened, so they're sort of in flux now. I'm glad I put in that case, so they're not just, like, you know, eating themselves when you use them or anything. So we'll have to have something special to resolve that at some point, which I apologize, sort of. Not really, like, it's kind of all of yours fault at some level, but I apologize, I guess that'll take a little while, but let everyone recuperate from Halloween, and then we can, you know, have a little collective conversation about that, so to speak, through a probably another world event in the early part of 2012. I wouldn't dream of asking for specifics, but can you spoil the number of ending paths to her? Or the story effects group more like individual events in your mind? I talked a little bit about this, but... So, the first Halloween, there were three endings, and the second Halloween, there were sort of like... it was a little more modular than that, but in practice, there were probably like... 18 or so, with, maybe not even really, that's actually about right, but with the understanding that it's like three endings, right, like multiplied out to 18, not like I actually made 18 complete endings, because I'm crazy, I'm not that crazy. and this time, if you multiplied it out, it would be something like 1,024. Probably, give or take, because there were a lot of just individual variables that were being taken into account, like, did the maze get done? Maze didn't get done, there wasn't going to be a maze. If, you know, the stage didn't get done, there wasn't going to be a stage, if, etc., etc., etc. If, you know, if the Emerald Gift Fund didn't get filled up, obviously they wouldn't have been there, all these sorts of things. That's some pretty serious divergence there. But just on like a purely numerical level, right? Like, I'm not gonna, you know, make a big post like, oh, there were 1,000 different ways this could have ended, look at me, it's so impressive. It's just, you know, the power of multiplication, really. Exponentiation, I guess, really, in this case. Well, like, people could see it sort of with the punch, I think. There was, not quite half of the punch was spiked, but you could get, you know, different amounts of each type of punch based on the amount that was brought in, amount of what was brought in was spiked, that sort of thing. Well, the amount of what was brought in was clean, the amount of what was brought in was spiked, which is a level of granularity I hadn't done before, but I think it worked out really well, and I definitely plan to continue that trend with less of me saying these are the sort of story paths you can go down for Halloween, and more just saying, hey, you know, this is your playground, go for it. And I think that's in a lot of ways even more what I was trying to go for with the first Halloween, but just didn't have the design chops, honestly, and, you know, like the skills that I needed as a designer and a programmer to make that work. But it's coming together, and I think obviously not something I've put a ton of thought into quite yet. A little bit, but the next Halloween, I think, will, dare I say, be even cooler. I'm totally prepared to have you quote that back at me in, you know, 11 months and change. But I think that as sort of a dry run for that this Halloween was pretty fucking impressive, actually. And, like I said, there's more that could have been done, but, and some stuff that I should have anticipated, that I didn't properly. But, like, as far as the, that being 75% of the way there, it's a pretty impressive 75%, if you don't mind me saying so. A couple more questions from Thrillhouse. Yuki Ninja'd one of my questions, so I have another one. I think I just answered the same question twice. It's cool. Do you have any exciting plans for allowing players to show off their neat, loot, weird collections? You've mentioned certain mechanics, like the pumpkin bonk attack, were designed to cater to bragging rights. There will eventually be a sort of display mechanic, like the display cases in the Canon Museum in Kingdom of Loathing, or the Mementonian in Twilight Heroes. Obviously, with a little bit of the Metroplexity spin, in that it'll be a little more in-world, if that makes sense. Not that you can, like, break into other people's displays and steal their stuff or anything, but... although, now that I say that, you know, a little disappointing, but it's just not going to happen. Those are sort of, like, outside the game. I would rather have it be something that's tied in a little more. But that's upcoming, sort of tied into some other things that I want to do, so, there's an interesting network of dependencies there that I think, in retrospect, will make sense, but if I tried to just, like, list off the names of the projects that need to come in one order, you'd be like, what is this guy smoking? Those don't have anything to do with each other. So I will leave that to the side for now, and just say, I guess, that it's planned as part of a larger extravaganza that may or may not be early next year. May or may not be early 2014. I don't know. But there is something like that in the works. I mean, we could do it ourselves the old-fashioned way, but an in-world mechanic TV program or website would be more fun, or possibly not running. Game cultural / faction warfare. There's actually something that I'm prepared to have someone just totally stab me for this, but one of the things that I was thinking about fairly early in design in Gang Warfare is that obviously, you know, there are avatars, and I mean, I plan when Puyo comes out here to be able to do custom avatars, which is cool. Those will be neat. One of the other things I was thinking about was an actual logos for gangs, both for Net PvP, which was in the works even back then, believe it or not, and for logos on gang jackets, which I think would be pretty cool. And technologically, that can work out okay. But I need to, get Puyo here so that we can talk face-to-face and get those doled out. And that's more of a long-term thing, obviously. Although, actually, I guess good news on that, she's, I mean, not to get anyone hopes up, least of all my own, but at least of all Puyo's, Lord, being in Peoria, it's really, like, I blame Peoria. Like, Puyo could, you know, probably, like, be more assertive or just, like, you know, pile all of her stuff into a car and come out here, but Peoria is a pit. Like, it's sort of like you're right at the event horizon of a black hole, and if you fall in, you're effed, but it's still not easy to get out. And it releases toxic amounts of x-rays. I don't know why. But, yeah, potentially after the holiday season this year. She might be moving out, which would be very cool. Bunch of questions from Al. Somebody said that you had added diminishing returns for food, so that if you eat too much of the same thing, eventually you'll only get the minimum of energy range every time. Is this true? I mean, spayed it. I haven't changed anything recently regarding the basic food mechanics. The last thing I changed in, like, the how hunger works code, assuming that makes sense, is, setting it up so that it could record how much you eat during your reset, right, for the extreme diet and closed system. Conducts. So, if it's in there, it's been in there for a while. Did Janet have recuperation time after being killed at the party? Did I quickly imagine that the RNG just made it not show up for long periods of time? There's a mechanic in place that, made her not show up immediately, after you, attacked her. Yeah. Are there any opponents with reactive defense out there? My spading for Janet's defensive stat seems kind of screwy, which might be explained by that. I can't speak specifically for Janet offhand, but any stat that you can have, literally any stat, as a player, has to be supported on the enemy side also, because of how PvP works. So it is entirely possible for enemies to have reactive defense, to have any equipment benefits that you get, like the Wolfman mask bonus to Ghoul Bite, right? Like even really petty stuff like that. If I went in there and gave ghouls that flag, they would use that version of Ghoul Bite. There are assuredly enemies with reactive defense. There are enemies with the brutality in the code, but the bonus power if your opponent doesn't have a technique, all sorts of things like that. There are a scant handful of things that just don't matter as an enemy, like, what does it matter if they have, increased chance of PvP encounters? Like, does the specter that you're running into have increased chance of PvP encounters? Probably not. Probably not a big deal. Although, actually, I could still use that if I needed to for some bizarre reason. The depth on the enemy side is equal to, or in many cases greater, than the depth on the PC side. So, it would not surprise me if when your spading goes a little scurry about defenses, if it was reactive defense. And similarly with power and the attacks, that the brutality thing. Will we see opponents similar to Janet's level of difficulty in the main questline eventually, or will supercharged fights be left only for holidays and optional content? I would not be surprised to see a fight roughly that difficult towards the end of the main questline. There are definitely encounters. I shouldn't even really say encounters. There are people in the setting that you may want to kill, but will not have to kill as part of the main questline, even though they are your enemies in a very real sense, simply because. In part because the main questline sort of like goes past them, but also to a large extent because the main questline would be extremely long if you had to get up to the point where you could actually kill them. There are, Janet is not the ace up Special Projects sleeve. She's like she's not like the deuce up their sleeve either. But we're talking like, you know, the six or seven up their sleeve. So once you start getting into the, shall we say, face cards, a lot of those will have to be optional at a lot of levels, just because I'm not going to make, like, you know, you play for months to do a single reset, right? Care to discuss the plan for reincarnation mechanics? I'd assume that it would be like Call, where you'd pair him one skill per run, keep it forever. But your recent comments indicate there might be runs where we can choose specific skills to take or whatnot. How do you envision this working? Regardless of the actual mechanic... okay. If there is a mechanic to remember skills, which there's probably going to be some form of, whether, you know, that applies to every run or whatever, doesn't matter. But, and how exactly that applies. It will, even the equivalent, if we have the equivalent of like a casual type run, where, like, you just, you know, keep everything, go completely nuts, right? I don't foresee that happening, but even if we did have such a thing, just so we're sort of talking about, like, blank slate, like, end of the line type situations, you would still be able to opt out of skills, I think much more likely you'll see, runs where, you have a slate of skills, or a slate of skills, maybe chosen, for you, not randomly, so to speak, but, in a more, in a sense, more like the seasonal resets now. Details on that are completely not set in stone at all, so, I'm mostly just rambling, but, there are skills that you won't necessarily want to have every run, like, well, I guess there's a skill that's in already that nobody's found that interacts, actually very badly with several other skills, at least some of which people found, to the point where you probably really only want to have one or the other, if you're, you know, starting out from scratch, if you were starting out from scratch on a new run. And I think that that's a valuable enough sort of space, and that it's necessary to be able to just say, no, I opt out of this skill for this run. Also avoids the whole Torso Awareness Bronze Breastplate thing, which would probably make me murder people. So we'll head that off at the pass. For the non Kingdom of Loathing old school folks out there, there was a huge drama fest at one point. And I apologize to anyone in the audience who was part of this drama fest, but I would not handle this nearly as gracefully as Chick did. Where if you had a particular skill, you would it would give you items throughout the run, so you'd have like a non-combat once during the run in a particular area that would give you an item, like a relatively good item, in exchange for an adventure, but like there wasn't an option to it. And like, okay, and they fixed that, whatever, and like it's just one energy, but like just the huge amount of like, we permed this skill, it should never hurt us. No, I'm not getting into that. If you're perming a skill and it's hurting you, uncheck it. So, that's where that lies. So, hopefully I will never in my entire life have to deal with that argument. Or if I can, I can just viciously make fun of the person making the argument. One of the benefits of not being the trailblazer, because they honestly just had not the faintest idea that anyone would care, right? That anyone would want to opt out of getting, you know, the shiny item for an energy. I'm sorry, for an adventure. But, wow. Yeah. So, we'll hand that one off at the pass. I don't have to be be a complete jerk to anyone. Do we need to use hacking at all with the Midgard player equip to unlock the sniper, stalking, etc. skeets? I'm still stuck on that. Although I did find some cool hidden tools. Yeah, I was totally waiting for people to find those. The cool hidden tools, that is. I mean, there's a lot of hacking you have to do. So I'm not going to say don't go hacking. It doesn't all necessarily have to be with the Midgard player, though. Can we make tentacle leather? Argot's idea. Tentacle gang jackets are pretty much the best thing ever. That would be pretty sweet. You'd probably have to find bigger tentacles, though. Or start, like, weaving them, which seems not hardcore. Like, you know, woven tentacle gang jacket sounds kind of cool, and then you're like, yeah, like, underwater basket gang jacket, yeah, but I will seriously consider having you attacked by giant walk-off tentacles at some point in the future. Will larger apartments be available in Old Town? Will this be something we get automatically when we get there? Something we have to buy once, like subversion testing, or something we'll have to buy every run? There will be multiple options for larger housing. Not all of them will actually be purchased. None of them will probably carry over between resets. I mean, maybe someday we'll have, like, the optimal end of reset apartment that unlocks after your reset and you only have to do once, or something along those lines. But that's, like, after reincarnation, right? Like, after the game's done. Well, the main quest line is done. The game's never going to get done. And I mean that not in a, like, screw it, I give up sense. I mean that in a, I expect to be developing this game in, 5 years, 10 years, if there's anybody still left playing it. Is Octopus Ink currently craftable? It's a chemistry ingredient, but we can't find anything. I am relatively confident that it is craftable. And it would not surprise me if at least one of the recipes were something that you wouldn't try immediately. Or have on hand. So I'm gonna say probably yes. It's entirely possible it's also broken. I guess I can always check. Pardon me while I'm completely boring for a second here. It's been a while since I implemented this item, so it's, you know, not exactly fresh in my mind here, right? Okay, let me see where the heck that item comes from. Okay. this is the sound of me fixing bugs, because there's no chance at all that I'm going to remember it when we get done. But there is a crafting recipe that, for whatever reason, did not get implemented at all, despite the fact that it's, you know, supposed to be in there. There we go. Okay. You now officially have an octopus ink recipe. Not sure exactly what happened there, but who can say? Last podcast, you said there weren't any more planned categories for Cyberware slots. This certainly contradicts your earlier promise of adding a teeth slot for Cyberware. The dentures of awesome power. What gives? I'm a filthy liar who breaks his promises. It's true. The cyber teeth slot has will live on in our hearts. It seems like the buried lab has potential for a lot of content. We haven't found it yet. Are we missing a bunch of stuff from there? Like one of the 4 or 5 missing skills from the Survivor's Quest. I'm still thinking people that we're looking at entirely the wrong place for most of those skills. Which, I guess, I have not followed that spading very closely, but my gut says that it's not so much that people aren't doing the right things as they're sort of thinking sideways from where they are. The buried lab actually needs revamp at some point, a la Southside Park or the sewer hideout. Not necessarily, you know, grandiose, you know, revamp, but it's just sort of not a lot going on right now, which is unfortunate. I'm actually going to be requesting some art for that. Whether that means it actually happens in Final Fantasy is another question entirely, of course. I was just thinking today, maybe it was yesterday, talking to some folks at Twilight Heroes on their forums about how I requested the art for pets for Metroplexity, like, at least 2 years ago, and they're still not in. They're so adorable. They're staring at me with their cute little eyes. I can't handle it. The pressure is too much, so I haven't implemented them yet. But assuming that doesn't happen, I would like to go through and go over the buried lab. Unless you're talking about the buried lab before everything goes to hell, in which case there is some stuff you have to But the aftermath is just sort of, I mean, yeah, it's an aftermath. It should be kind of boring, but it's a little too boring. I mean, it's sort of the, how do you make an area interesting when everybody's dead? A couple questions from Greywind, who I believe is Laosian game. Some antique mirror questions that have been bugging me for a long time. Is it possible to climb the blooming tree in spring, as the text suggests? Well, it's definitely possible to climb the tree. Whether it's capable to climb it in spring? I don't honestly recall. If I'm remembering the text that you're talking about, though, that's where it talks about how you wish you had, you know, a pile of, you know, some sort of powdery substance to stand on. just saying. If there's any way to switch to mirror zone you're in without resetting, if not, would you be amenable to adding some way to change mirror zones or remaining in post-run? No and no, respectively. It's not intended to be a... choose which one you want every day sort of thing. It's intended to be... set for really however long your post run. No, there isn't a way to change it, and no, I wouldn't be amenable to adding one. It's definitely very, 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 very much working as intended. A couple questions from Ouija Man? Ouija Man? I'm gonna guess Ouija Man just because it reminds me of Ouija, which is to say Luigi being creepy. Is Ouija specifically him being creepy? I forget. Anyway, it reminds me of Luigi with his, you know, little green cap and his suspenders. You can't really go wrong. On character history, how different does the character look from before he or she was an unkillable, possibly cybernetic, possibly ethereally powered murder machine? Just enough so that someone who knew them before and after wouldn't recognize them? Or even so that Super Zaibatsu face scanning software wouldn't pick anything up? Or is that all the magic smoothing everything over? That is not a question that's answerable on a very broad level. I would say... for the most part, people would be recognizable, but it's not a sure thing, so I'm not sure that I would reflect it in content necessarily. It's just, if you're listening to this podcast from the future, and you know why people are that way, you'll understand why I'm being really vague. But it's not something that puts a lot of strict rules on appearance, I guess. Is Janet an earlier model or later model? She is obviously tougher than the hammer. She is stronger than the hammer in the same way that you can be stronger than the hammer, in that she has, you know, better toys, more XP, in a very real sense, so, that sort of thing. I would be willing to say, that she does not hold any particularly, high position within the hierarchy. So it's not like she's one of the first, you know, sort of the archetypical, like, this is our badass prototype that for no apparent reason is 1,000 times better than all of our other machines, you know, despite the fact that the prototype is the one that's broken all the time. Never really quite understood that train of thought. It's like, oh, we make this one, and it's awesome, and then we make the exact same one using what we've learned from the previous one, and it sucks. But that's neither here nor there. So she's stronger than the hammer in the same way that, you know, like a lot of the, you know, that anyone who hasn't reset for a while is stronger than the hammer. Will the old subway come back? Probably not. It's pretty much that was as much a revamp as anything else. So there will be some more new stuff in there eventually. But I don't intend to revert it to a previous state. I actually could. Build Subway, like, still exists to a large extent in the database. But I don't foresee needing to do that. Few questions from Meg, also known as Magnifico. Is the Wolfskin Belt intended primarily for resetting, or is there a bunch of Aftercore-related stuff we've got to discover about it? It's intended primarily to be awesome. I mean, that's sort of my rule for, like, the one coin and two coin, right? Like, you've got the one coin stuff, obviously, doesn't always work out this way, but you've got the one coin stuff that's just sort of, like, utilitarian, two coin stuff that's just sort of awesome and has a bunch of content in it, you know, whether it's good or not, right? And, well, Wolfskin Belt's on the two coin side of that line. So, I mean, it's just sort of, you know, make of it what you will. I think that there are places I'd be comfortable using in Aftercore, and there's some pretty cool Aftercore-related stuff in there. But it's not really designed so that it has a specific purpose in Aftercore or in a reset. Like, I think it's a perfectly, you know, sweet item for a reset, but that's not, like, the... wasn't really a design goal. It's just, make a perfectly sweet item. Oh, hey, yay, people can actually use this for stuff. And obviously, like, if I make an item that's, you know, a two-coin item and it's terrible, I try to, you know, I feel liberated to give it a little more numeric love, if that makes sense. But we shall see. The VIP third eye in the VIP room pauses, seeming to expect a specific answer from you. Is it possible to learn and give him the answer he's expecting, or is that text just for flavor? Wow. Ask me a question about something I haven't written for a long time. Clicking through to that encounter from the link that Mag helpfully provided, I think it's actually really funny. I did not notice this for a long time, but much of the book art in Metroplexity is backwards, so to speak. Like, the spine is on the right-hand side, and A, should have noticed that much faster, but B, I think that's kind of adorable, because, you know, Puyo, who doesn't know Japanese is the first language, and that's just how their books work. I don't believe that there is any way that you would know what he's expecting yet, no. And if you did, he'd probably just give you a high five rather than a free book. So, seems like it wouldn't really, you know, be a pressing sort of implementation. Is there any way other than using a panacea pill to get rid of the exceedingly nasty rasping teeth effect currently implemented? I would not be surprised if there was. There are... Somebody asked me something very similar to this last podcast. I think it was Al. There are a lot of things that remove various buffs and debuffs. And they are, I mean, for a variety of perfectly legitimate reasons, you know, not very well stated. The rasping teeth effect is not in a category that's easy to remove, but it's also not necessarily... But if there were somewhere else that it was appropriate that it be removed, I would have added it to that. But Panacea Pill may be the only way to remove its entire sort of, like, class of debuffs. Like, you know, it and ruptured organs and all of that. But there are individual ways to remove a lot of those debuffs. So, I mean, take of that what you will. I don't honestly know offhand whether there's any way to specifically remove Rasping Teeth. But it would not even remotely surprise me. Question from Voles. How did the Mick cross the transludic barrier to enter complexity as a big M? If you went into an encounter with Big M expecting the Mick, you would be rather confused, possibly sorely disappointed, possibly less disappointed in the reverse. Big M is pretty... I think during the, if not quite the main quest line, then at least sort of like, you know, the arc, you will probably get to meet face-to-face, which should be interesting. Not necessarily the sort of person that I would try to take down with a fight. I was talking a little bit about how there are people that I would not suggest having as bosses in the main quest line, because they're not really very beatable material. But Big M isn't quite there. Big M is sort of like the tier down from that of, like, badass and pretty scary, but not by any means as unkillable as some of the other people. And by unkillable, I should clarify to be, you know, very difficult to defeat. Taking a step back from that, I don't mean that to say that I won't have encounters with people like that where you can try your damnedest to kill them, and someone almost assuredly will eventually. I'm a big believer in the old gamer euphemism. That's the word I'm looking for. Saying? Old gamer wisdom that if it has stats, it can die. Which is why you, for example, can't attack Hell right now, because it would completely haywire the plot. But at some point, you will be able to, and at some point, some jerk is going to go to the top floor and, you know, kill her and take her stuff, and, you know, there will be a main quest line link from there. But Big M is not quite like, you know, you just punched out Cthulhu, but like is like I said, sort of on the next tier down. That Big M could make a totally legitimate final boss for the main quest line, or a version of the main quest line, to the extent that we'll have final bosses. But there are definitely people after that as well, which is really just as well. So, at the risk of taking a stroll down memory lane, many, many, many years ago, when I was designing this setting, which everyone who I've played it with just calls War of Shadows, which is in my long-running D&D game of yore, was one of the real basic premises was at the beginning, when, like, the world was laid out, it wasn't just, like, this is the most badass guy. It's the, no matter how badass you are, there's somebody who, you know, got there before you and is more badass. Which, I guess, it played certain ways, could be a little depressing. But the what ended up happening was, instead of... Oh, my God. In... you know, fantasy RPGs a lot of the time. I'm looking at Eberron here, does this a lot, but also like Forgotten Realms, if you play it for long enough, or Dark Sun. There's sort of a, like, cap after which there just isn't anybody, right? And so you either exceed that cap and you're just done, right? Like, there's nobody left to, you know, kill. You know, fight against for stuff. Or, as you go up, like, you have, like, you know, nemeses that follow with you. Which is cool, and I strongly suggest if you're running any sort of tabletop game. But, with War of Shadows, there was sort of, there were elements of that sort of nemesis construction, but also, as you went through, you know, you were, well, like, if you look at it like a normal D&D campaign, you start out like, you know, you fight the goblins, some, you fight the orcs, you fight the ogres, and, you know, then, like, the orcs come back with, like, the creepy high-level orcs with their generals and stuff, and then, like, maybe fight some giants for a while, and it sort of goes up. This sort of similar process with the humanoid villains, so you'll start out with, by humanoid in that case, I actually mean more humanish, like demi-human villains in ancient D&D speak, but, so, like, as you get up, you know, it's like, oh, we're, like, you know, 15th level. There aren't a ton of 15th level people, so you'll run into the same folks over and over again, right? But there are enough of them that you can, you know, have legitimate conflicts still. And there are still people above you, although fewer of them, right, than at lower levels. So you probably know all of them personally and either, you know, work for them, avoid them, you know, try to buy them off, or, like, are trying to get to higher level to kick their asses. And then, like, an ever-increasing large number of people below you. And the idea with War of Shadows is basically that, like, there is a top of the pyramid, but it went fairly smoothly from, like, first level up through, like, you know, the, you know, traditional D&D, like High Priests and Archmages sort of being at the top of the mortal heap, and then up into, like, you know, demigods and demigodish things, like Illithid Elder Brains and so forth, into, like, the actual gods, then into, like, the, you know, the big greater gods, and, you know, of course, you know, Elder Horrors and so forth, because who could go without those? You need, it's like, you know, Cthulhu is kind of like salt, right? It's like even a recipe that you're like, this is a pie crust, right? Like, pie crust doesn't need salt. Fuck that shit. Pie crust totally needs salt. Everything needs salt. Everything needs salt. Just like everything needs Cthulhu. And not, there was not actually Cthulhu, but there were, you know, of course, elements of Lovecraftian horror, like you do. But the idea was more just that, like, everything was very contiguous, and I have applied a very similar sort of design principle in Metroplexity, where, you know, like, as you narrow up to the top of the proverbial food chain, there are, there's shit that as PCs you may or may not ever be able to actually beat, but aside from, you know, sort of force of nature type things, the real, like, holy shit, big deal type characters, I would really like people to be able to, you know, at least test them against, so to speak. But that's a long ways off. At this point in the thread, I mentioned that Liz was not feeling well, and I may not be able to podcast this weekend, but ha! Victory! Raziel is offering three cheers and some panacea pills, which thankfully she's feeling a lot better. I have been, you know, kicking back and tending to spouse a lot, watching a lot of movies, and just sort of chilling. But she's more functional than she was at the beginning of the weekend. On Friday in particular, she was not in very good shape. But we are still young and spry and bounce back from such things. A couple questions from Harito. Is there special content for the other abandoned subway gear, like with the ancient timepiece? There is some content which is left to be discovered regarding some of that gear. Assume not sure what you found out about the ancient timepiece, but I'm pretty sure that you haven't found all of the stuff in the ancient subway yet. How about that? Chuck, is he belts? Oh. sorry, I should have gotten used to this question already. But I just, my brain short-circuited a little bit, because in my hometown there's a soft serve place called Belts Ice Cream, which is not the most amazing ice cream in the world, but sort of like flavors of your childhood type thing. And I guess in their defense, when it's, you know, like harvest season and fresh raspberries are coming in, they will in fact have like fresh raspberry flurries, which are about the best thing ever, actually. But my childhood confusion aside, I think that that's sort of an open question at the moment. Nobody's seen him since, you know, about when the belts were released. But whether that means he's involved at all is, you know, an interesting question. Whether that means that, you know, he was, you know, killed in the process of being involved is a subsidiary question. I think that a guess that he is somehow related to the process is pretty reasonable, considering some of the other stuff you ran into this Halloween. I don't have any intent to tell you whether what his current disposition is. So you will just have to wonder. I'm sure that it'll come up eventually. In the event that you must evoke the name Powers of Vagman on that one, can you at least tell us if we missed content relating to him? Not much. If you can hear people screaming outside, I think somebody's trying to run somebody else over, and they're having an argument now. It's not very exciting. But in regards to Chuck, you didn't... there's a very minor thing that you missed, but you didn't, like, miss a face-to-face meeting or anything. Sorry for making that sound, seeing your questions, Sir Cheddar, but long bulleted lists of questions are not what one needs. I guess I'm only, you know, an hour and 3 minutes into the podcast. I can handle a bulleted list. It occurs to me that we know next to nothing about the personal networks or gang networks do. If you have a comm dish, they probably give you better feedback of what goes on in gang warfare, but it's information you can get if you take a look at the logs without any cost of energy. They probably give better results than using programs like Unstable Integrator or Integrated File Scan, but those haven't been in the game for too long. I think we are missing something fundamental. I put together a few questions that might help us spare in the next decade or two. First, do we have a chance to find anything without having the biggest personal network? Yeah, not required. Having the biggest gang network, not required. I mean, for stuff like that, having the biggest personal network or gang network, or like just having, if there's a variable which is, you know, how big is your personal network or how big is your gang network or like your ranking, it doesn't really help to have, this is just general spading stuff, I'm not even really talking about the specific items, it doesn't really help to have the same person tested all, right? Like if you have one dude who's got, like, you know, 2,000, you know, signal power and is first place, and he does all the testing. How do you know if it even has anything to do with this person's network size, right? Like, you need to have multiple data points before you can even draw, like, a line, right? Otherwise, it's just a dot. I would say that you run more risk of not finding anything out having the biggest personal network, if that makes any sense. Or rather, just having one person testing things. Having the players list is, yeah, same thing again. Having said player, yeah, same. Okay, so yeah, it's just a lot of, it's just sort of a question of, how do we spade something without these things? It's an equally valid question to say, how do you spade something with these things, right? Like, if you know, the integrated file scan, right? If that has certain effects when you have the biggest personal network, there's no way to know if that effect is from having the biggest personal network without someone trying it with the biggest personal network and without the biggest personal network. I'm assuming that makes sense, but all of the, there are some things that obviously trigger off of conditions like this, but, I don't think that only testing it when you have those conditions, doesn't look good, really, right? Like, you're finding out, like, oh, either this matters, or it's the normal effect of the item, or it's random, and you just don't really end up with any valid data if you're only having, you know, only testing it in one circumstance. So, I guess maybe you meant to ask a completely different question, but do we have a chance to find anything without, if you're spading, the question is equally valid whether you have to find anything with. So, and then a bunch of stuff to look for. that is a perfectly legitimate list of stuff to look for. Many of those even occur. I'm not sure. Mechanically, it's difficult to include bonuses that show up on people's, of the sort that would show up on someone's bonus page, with those items. So, like, if something matters, like, oh, so, you know, it's tempting to say, I want to have an item that gives you, you know, plus one perception for every percent of the sites on the net that you control, or something, right? But it doesn't actually work very well mechanically, because the game would have to watch that constantly, and that would cause some pretty serious SAD on the server side. So I guess I would not expect any sort of bonus that has to be updated constantly, because it just technically isn't feasible. Or rather, it's feasible, it's just not going to do it. So maybe that helps. do we have everything about the integrated file scan? If you found everything about it, you haven't spaded everything about it. I don't honestly know if you've even found all of the stuff that it'll give you. I have to look at the... like, with these links here, it's always very tempting to just click and look and see. Stuff. No, I think there's some more stuff that you haven't found, and then, like, some other related things. Is the integrated game finder personal comm dish, or does it have additional functions too? Not that we really know what a comm dish does. The integrated game finder is actually pretty cool. I am not sure if people will overspate it to appreciate the coolness that is occurring, but there's coolness. Do holograms or projectors have any function aside of Halloween and Halloween preparation? I wish that I had more tenses. But yes, they will. Yes, they will have. Yes, they will have had. The situations were not right on Halloween for them to stabilize. And I could, I mean, I could have, you know, just cheated and done it manually, right? But I left that as a choice for a reason. And I think leaving that thread open is both, I think, a service to how we do Halloween, and a interesting plot thread that I'll get to collect on later, which is concurrent with why that thread wasn't tied off. If that makes any sense. Probably not. There's loose end that's left by player choices during Halloween that was left as a loose thread for a reason, and I would rather, I guess, yank on it really hard and, you know, sort of create a new tapestry of loose thread to torture our metaphor here, than pretend that you're, then just sort of say your choices don't matter and leave it back in. I wouldn't expect them to start doing anything anytime soon, so don't feel like you can't reset or something. I would, as crazy as I am, I'm not Halloween world event in November. Christmas crazy. I want to give everyone some time to actually, you know, sort of play the normal game in the middle. So I would expect that thread to get picked up after Christmas. So that is the questions such as they are. I guess nobody really. I don't even remember if the last podcast wouldn't have been after the Twilight Heroes changeover. But that's going well. I had my first podcast over there, which I have a few questions on, but I think that's going to go pretty smoothly. Liz has been slightly confused because I've been, you know, happy and energetic and working on multiple projects, and she's kind of like you're supposed to work on your one project until you get tired. And then, you know, stop and read a book, not like work on that project until you're tired, then work on the next project until you're tired of that, and then read a book, because then you just seem really energetic, and that seems wrong somehow. But, yeah, things have been going pretty good, getting a lot of good design, and just familiarizing myself with the system done on that side, and still getting quite a bit of stuff done for Metroplexity. Got in some pretty small changes yesterday, which I think people will appreciate, and have some other small projects coming up, sort of, you know, a little here, a little there. Not planning on getting anything huge in November, just little, you know, drips and drabs, and then Christmas, you know, also starting to work on Old Town stuff, but that's not going to be a sudden, like, oh, yeah, November, you know, 25th, which may or may not be Thanksgiving. You know, happy Thanksgiving, here's your, you know, secret zombie turkey level, also known as Old Town. That seems pretty unlikely. Although, you know, I might just, you know, place the secret zombie turkey level in Old Town. We'll see. But, so yeah, that's sort of what I'm working on. So yeah, lots of little dribs and drabs, Christmas and Old Town are really what's coming up. I will do my best to keep the dribs and drabs, as I was saying, coming. And then I will. So some stuff I want to do, as I was saying, towards the beginning of the year, which should be pretty exciting. More along the lines of like the virus event, but better managed than holiday events. So like events that are excuses for launching major content. I obviously won't do anything like that for Old Town because that would just be weird. But like stuff that's being added into existing areas of the game. I like doing events for those because, hey, events, and, you know, people will have shiny new content. So I would expect at least one of those. Possibly you'll end up with either one massive Eventapalooza or two very small off chance of three before Old Town comes out. I kind of like the idea of a huge event to Palooza, just because nobody will know what's going on, myself included. I plan on scripting it a little more tightly than the virus content. I mean, there's sort of a waiting for for triggers from the player side rather than having a set schedule, I think was a mistake. Probably one that once I've sort of gotten a handle on world events I could go back to and make totally awesome. But the sort of thing that you don't want to try and do on your first try, like you know, skateboarding on a half pipe is totally sweet, but you probably want to know how to skateboard first, sort of thing. Not sure why I went to skateboarding for a metaphor, but there you have it. Some deep-seated terror in my subconscious, probably. Alright, but thanks for listening, and thanks for playing. Thanks for donating. Thanks for enjoying Halloween. Got a lot of really good feedback. I'm glad that people enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making it. Hope that everyone enjoys little content I've got coming out. Christmas, the bigger events we have towards the beginning of next year. And, yeah. No, I'm actually really excited about what we've got going forward. And then Old Town, but I would expect to hear that a couple of times still. So don't don't get your hopes too far as far as Old Town goes. Although I'll probably be saying that like 2 weeks, you know. Don't, and Old Town will still be years, and then like it'll pop out, and everyone will be like, "Oh my god, terror!" That's not now though. I just want to be clear. In the future, I might be lying to you. Right now, I'm not. It'll actually legitimately be a while. Okay. I've confused matters enough. Thanks for listening, and have a good afternoon, morning, or night.